Next Step 113, August 5th, 2010. Hey, this is Father Voskin, a priest of the Armenian Church, welcoming you to The Next Step, a podcast about life and love, about spirituality and all things spiritual. Actually, it's a podcast that allows you to look at life through some very old lenses that have been polished up in a very new way. We call that Armadoxy. We invite you now to sit back, enjoy. If you'd like, crawl with us, walk, run, whatever it takes, because we're taking the next step. This podcast is made possible by the folks at Apostle.net, apostolic evangelism for an expanding and electronic universe. So if you're ready, let's take the next step. I am so glad you made it to the show today. We have a great one for you, and we're going to start off by, well, I'm going to fill you in on a little quirky thing that I do every show. Just before it starts, I check out the number. What number? Where are we at? And today we happen to be show number 113. So here's the quirky part. Yes, okay, yeah, put in a little bit of Adam's Family. It is kind of creepy and kooky, you know? What can I say? Okay, I have this thing with numbers. And so today I just did a check on number 113. I've got to read this to you. And if it doesn't concern you, if you're not interested, just tune it out for the next minute or two, okay? I just have to share this with you for those of you who do care, because I think it's pretty fascinating. 113 is the 30th prime number following 109 and preceding 127. A Sophie Germain prime, a Chen prime, and a Proth prime, as it is a prime number of the form 7 times 2 to the 4th plus 1. 113 is an Einsteinian prime with no imaginary part and real part of the form 3n minus 1. Now, if that's not enough, in base 10, this prime is a primeval number and a permutable prime with 131 and 311. And get ready, because it gets only better now. 113 is a highly cototient number and a centered square number. 355 divided by 113 approximates pi to 7 decimal places with an error of less than 1 divided by 113 to the 3rd power. Oh, I love it. And if you didn't, if you could care less about all this, we're just happy that you're with us. But you know, these numbers really get to me. If you know anything about what we do with Armenian Orthodoxy, we've got like this little small little area where we play around with the numbers. I think, what was it, about a couple weeks ago, we were on Questions in Faith. If you get a chance, check out the archives at apostle.net. We did a whole show on that. Well, a whole session on the Armenian numbering system and the secrets that are inside that numbering. And it's just waiting for me to sit down one day and put it all on paper, because it is so fascinating. It is fascinating because, you know, it's not by chance that Armenians became the first Christian nation in 301. 301 is a very special number, as is today, as is every day. So without getting too much into it, we're just glad that you're here. Don't worry, we are through with the egghead portion of this show. Okay, that's it. No more. Well, maybe it might creep up around
somewhere else,
but I promise. I know. Well, there are certain things that just excite certain people, you know? But today we've got a great show for you, because, you know, life does present us with unique dilemmas. Center on that word unique today, okay? Let's use that as a platform for today's show, the uniqueness of life. And life does present us with challenges. It presents us with ethical dilemmas. And you have to reach into your faith. You have to reach into the set of standards that you have as an individual, as a human being, the faith that God has put in your heart, to be able to answer those unique circumstances, the difficulties that you're confronted with, the challenges of life. One such challenge took place this week because, well, for all of America, it was a major challenge. As you remember, 9/11 in America, that is now it's just an acceptable phrase. 9/11 means terrorism. It means the beginning of the war on terror. It was on 9/11, September 11th, when they brought down the World Trade Center. Fanatic Islam brought down the World Trade Center, and just a couple days ago, they approved the building of a mosque at Ground Zero. We're going to be talking about that because it has a lot of people up in arms, and it does present us with some unique spiritual messages as well as ethical responses that we have to terror and to evil. So that's coming up in today's show. Of course, we've got Ani's Bubble, but let's center again on the word unique, because over the past 3 weeks, we've been, well, on our Questions in Faith series. If you get a chance to watch it, it's on every Wednesday evening at apostle.net. We stream, and I know our European audience doesn't get to watch it until the next day because most everybody's asleep when we're streaming. So, but, you know, they're there. They're there as archives. And the last 2 weeks, and we've got one more week coming up, has been dedicated to Saint Mary. Now, when you talk about uniqueness, there's the epitome of uniqueness, isn't it? Sure, we talk about the uniqueness of virgin birth, but the real uniqueness is being able to say yes to God, and because of your response to God, allowing what? Christ to be born. Allowing the birth of love in your life, the birth of love to the world. There's so much to learn from Saint Mary. She is a unique individual among all the people that have lived. And so we've been talking about this idea of uniqueness, about who Saint Mary is over the last few weeks. The first session we did was about the biblical narratives and stories about Saint Mary. But last night we had an interesting one because we looked at the non-canonical. We looked at the non-biblical traditions, many of which we've come to accept. For instance, the idea that Joachim and Anna are Saint Mary's parents. That comes from an apocryphal writing. Well, it comes from a second century writing by attributed to James, the Gospel according to James. And, you know, many of the things that we take for granted today in talking about St. Gregory began as these small little stories, these myths that supported the bigger story of Christ being in our midst, Christ reaching out to this world. So we're going to be talking about uniqueness throughout today's podcast. And I thought today, as our song of the day, we start every week with a song of the day, I would pick out probably one that fits into Armenian Orthodoxy in a very unique manner, because Armenian Orthodoxy is not about ethnicity. It's about a way of looking at life and seeing the beauty and the wonder of life, being able to look at life and say that, yes, just like St. Mary did, I want to allow the uniqueness, the miracle, to come into this world. Now, do you want to hear a miracle? That's today's song. It is a tune written by Antonio Bazzini. It is a song called La Ronda de Lutins. And it is performed, well, let me just say it this way. The miracle, the uniqueness, is in the writing. It's in the human imagination that knows no bounds, that can create a piece like this. And it is in the performance by Maxime Vengerov. Thank you. On every dimension, miraculous and unique. I mean, think about it. It's not only the person writing it, it's the person performing it. Antonio Bazzini, he puts together these notes. Some notes that don't even exist. It's the human imagination gone wild. Here is miracle. Here is uniqueness pushed to the limits. And then you've got Maxim Vengerov, the technician, the violinist, who takes those notes and he produces the sound that we hear, the sound that we enjoy. And in that production, you have to wonder, is it possible? How is he reaching notes that don't even exist? Okay, somebody thinks of it in his mind, but how do you produce it? And the technical abilities. I mean, in every portion of this song, you see the miracle of God coming through. Now, the first time I heard this was back in 1970. It was a live performance. I was a young boy. I never forget this. It was a live performance by a gentleman named Aharonian. He had come from Armenia and he played this. And the name of the song, as I remembered it, it was called Batsini Vuhukibad, which is the witch's dance. And certainly when you listen to it, you could see that witch dancing. You could see that bow really jumping up like a little witch on top of those strings. And the first time I heard this, I was in awe. And it's gone through my life, this one little song, because it points to miracles that are sometimes impossible. The words that the angel speaks to Saint Mary: with God, all things are possible. You want a virgin birth? With God, all things are possible. You want the human imagination to produce something that seems impossible? With God, all things are possible. And so let's push ourselves to really look at the uniqueness of what is around us, the uniqueness of life, and push ourselves to see that there is a possibility to reach the what may seem impossible, and those are the things that we call miracles. Now, last Sunday, the lectionary reading in the Armenian Church happened to be John 3:16. What can we say? The most celebrated Bible passage, the most celebrated verses in the Bible. I believe it was Martin Luther who made some statement like, this is the gospel in miniature. Basically, take this one statement that God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. John 3:16. Martin Luther said that this is basically the gospel in miniature. And in many ways, if nothing else survives us but this one little statement, it says a lot. But it says a lot when we understand what we're talking about, these concepts of God, of his only son, of whoever believes. What does belief mean? What does faith mean? What does it mean to perish? What does it mean to have eternal life? So it is definitely a loaded sentence, a lot there to absorb, but it is, yes, in a sense, the gospel in miniature. It does say everything that the gospel is telling us. God's love for humanity is boundless to the point that he sacrifices, he gives everything to us, so that love should be in all dimensions and all parts of our life. And yes, it is a celebrated verse, celebrated to the point that many times we just see the numbers 3:16. There are baseball games, football games, where you'll see people with t-shirts with big signs, John 3:16. You'll see restaurant chains that put it on their cups, it's kind of like the hidden code of the Christians, 3:16, you know what we're talking about. But unfortunately, when we do that, we also tend to believe it to be in an isolated form. That is to believe that the verse exists by itself. It doesn't. It exists in a larger tradition. It exists definitely within some other verses. It definitely exists within the context of a piece of writing, of a gospel, existing within the context of a tradition. That's like saying, okay, I know how to turn a screw, therefore I can do mechanical changes on your automobile. I mean, would you trust me if my only qualifications were that I knew how to turn a screw? How about if I know how to sew? Would you trust me coming into the operating room and finishing up on a surgery? Obviously, it's absurd. But what happens many times is we take these single sentences and these buzzwords and we say that, okay, this is what faith is all about. And there's a danger in that. Yes, to the theologian, to somebody who has studied everything else, you can say that that is the gospel in miniature. But somebody who doesn't know anything, what are you talking about, the gospel in miniature? For God so loved the world. What does God mean? What does love mean that he gave? What does give mean? What does only begotten mean? What does son mean? And these questions contribute to the formation of what? The bigger story. Okay? So it's okay to ask those questions. It's okay to look at little buzzwords, but understand them to be in a bigger context. For instance, in the Gospel of John, this one little verse comes to us in the context of a statement made by Jesus. He is responding to a question made by Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews, a Pharisee. And he is responding by saying that you have to be born again. And at the conclusion of this statement, he says, "For no one has ever gone into heaven except the one who came from heaven, the Son of Man." Just as Moses lifted up the snake in the desert, so the Son of Man must be lifted up that everyone who believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. This is a bigger statement. There's much more meat to it. There's much more to understand. But begin with the first words. For no one has ever gone into heaven except the one who came from heaven. A very bold statement, isn't it? It points to the uniqueness of Christ. It points to that miracle of the virgin birth, yes, but even more, the uniqueness of coming from heaven, of coming from some place that is extraterrestrial, in other words, outside of this life that we know it. Coming from someplace else, and this person is one who is lifted up. He says, as Moses lifted up the snake in the wilderness, and this is a noted story that comes from the Old Testament. It is the people, the Israelites, were suffering, had diseases, had difficulties. And of course, Moses lifts up the serpent, and he who looks up at the serpent is healed, is cured of whatever ailment they have. And hence we get the Western tradition of the snake, the symbol of the snake around the staff, which dons many doctor's offices. Yes, that's where that symbol comes from. You've seen it at doctor's offices. It is the medical symbol, right? Well, it's a very Old Testament symbol. And Jesus says that as Moses lifted up the snake in the desert, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that everyone who believes in him has eternal life. Well, what is the symbol that is going to be lifted up? It is the cross. The cross that rises up and is a symbol of the sacrifice. But more importantly, it says the Son of Man will be lifted up. The Son of Man is the sacrifice. It is the end to the old covenant. The old covenant has now finished. The new covenant is beginning. There is a new relationship with God based on sacrifice, based on everyone who looks up and is healed, finds that eternal life from looking at that symbol. The snake in the wilderness? No, no more. Now you look at that symbol of sacrifice, of humility, of love that Jesus practiced in his life. You know, in the Armenian Divine Liturgy, the Badarak, there is a ballet that takes place. A ballet which is so beautiful and really worth spending the time to understand. This is so important. The Armenian liturgy is not just about coming, plugging in, and saying a prayer. It's not about what can I get out of the church, what can I do. It's actually to dance with God, to be able to dance with God, to pick God as your partner, and then float, to really rise up on your toes, on your tippy toes, and reach out to God, and know that God is there to reach out to you. This ballet takes place during the liturgy, where there is an interaction between the participant, between the priest, the deacon, the singers, and the faithful coming together and participating together. Listen to the words. Jesus says, "For no one has gone into heaven except he who has come down from heaven. For no one, nobody. Not the priests, not the bishops, not the Catholicoi, not the politicians, not the president, not the senator, not the House of Commons, not the House of Lords. No one, no matter what position you're in, has gone to heaven except he who has come down from heaven. Not the ancients, not the other leaders, not other religions, no one except the one who has come down. And in response, the priest during the divine liturgy says the same words about us. Vochvok arjanie umpernelu. There is nobody who is worthy to accept this divine mystery. Based on our cardinal needs and desires, we cannot fathom this mystery. And yet you are giving us the ability to peer in, to look in, and to see something that we otherwise couldn't see through the grace of God. And this ballet takes place with God saying, there is nobody who has gone up to heaven. There is nobody who has come down from heaven. Only one person. And we respond by saying, we acknowledge this uniqueness. And we extend our hand. Take our hand and twirl us. Twirl us into the ballet of life. Jesus continues by saying, the Son of Man must be lifted up. Will be lifted up, the sign that will be lifted up. And the priest then takes the Holy Communion. And what does he do? He lifts it up. And in the rubrics of the Divine Liturgy, it says he lifts it up and it should be seen by the people. The people should see it as he says, this is life. This is love. This is for the remission of sins. In other words, this is your salvation. In other words, just as Moses lifted up the snake in the desert, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that everyone who believes in him may have eternal life. The uniqueness has now come to us. We are now participants in God's ballet, in God's love, in God's story, what we sometimes call the passion play. The passion play being life all around us. Now take advantage of that. Take advantage of that uniqueness that God is lending to us and make it work in your life for the things that you want to achieve, for the directions you want to go to, for the imagination that you have, for those notes that don't exist, to be able not only to imagine those things, but to become the technicians to play those notes. You see, in the beginning I told you that this song that we played today was not necessarily ethnically Armenian, but is very Armenian Orthodox, isn't it? Because it connects everything together. As the scriptures do, as the uniqueness of life does, as the human imagination has now plugged in and is part of the ballet of God. There probably cannot be a better transition than the ballet of our lovely Ani Bubbles. Thank you, Ani. You came in just at the right point, because I could go on for a while. Anyway, here is Ani with today's Bubbles.
Today's spiritual bubble is about the seven wonders of the world as we see them. A group of students was asked to list what they thought were the present seven wonders of the world. Though there were some disagreements, the following received the most votes. 1. Egypt's Great Pyramids. 2. The Taj Mahal. 3. The Grand Canyon. 4. The Panama Canal. 5. The Empire State Building. 6. St. Peter's Basilica, and 7. China's Great Wall. While gathering the votes, the teacher noticed that one quiet student hadn't turned in her paper yet, so she asked the girl if she was having trouble with her list. The girl replied, "Yes, a little. I couldn't quite make up my mind because there were so many." The teacher said, "Well, tell us what you have and maybe we can help." The girl hesitated, and then she read, "I think the seven wonders of the world are 1. To see, 2. To hear, 3. To touch, 4. To taste, 5. To feel, 6. To laugh, and 7. to love. The room was so quiet you could have heard a pin drop. The things we overlook as simple and ordinary, and that we take for granted, are really, truly the wonders of the world. This has been your spiritual bubble. May it float on the wind to heaven.
Wow. I am still rubbing my arms trying to get the goosebumps off of them. Oh, that was so beautiful. Now, Ani doesn't know what I talk about over here. She comes to the studio prepared with a bubble of the day. That's beautiful, Ani. You see, this is what I mean by the ballet of life. It's being able to be a partner with God every moment. The ballet that we call the Divine Liturgy or Balarak has already reached that status. So when you plug into it, you are in a dance with God. And so too, Ani, see, she comes in and she just plugs in with the unique nature of what we happen to be talking about. The seven wonders of the world. They're all around us. It's the beauty that God has given us to experience. Ani, thank you so much. Now I am getting ready for next. I'm kind of excited, kind of looking forward to what she's going to come up with next week. Anyway, she is off. Bye-bye. Have a good day. She is off to her nursing assignments at Los Angeles Children's Hospital. Can you believe that? Isn't that beautiful? Yes, we're so proud of her. She's achieving new things and always has time to lift us up, give us that little bubble that takes our consciousness, that takes us up to the heavens. We've got a small announcement coming up from Susie right now. When we get back, we're going to be looking at, well, something that took place in America. It is the positioning of a mosque at Ground Zero. We're going to be looking at the ethical implications and a lot more when we come back with the next step. Here's Susie.
Hi, this is Susie from In His Shoes Ministries. Before continuing with today's broadcast, I wanted to take this opportunity to remind you that this podcast is made possible through your prayers and generous donations. We are now in the third year of production and growing daily with new listeners around the globe. This new message of Armenian Orthodoxy, or as Father Vazgen calls it, Armadoxy, is giving people an intelligent and practical answer to many of life's difficulties. Epostle.net is the voice of Armadoxy, committed to bring apostolic evangelism to an electronic world. This means we need to avail ourselves to technology's latest tools. Your donations help us expand and deliver this message to a waiting world. Please support us by pressing on the donate button at the inhisshoes.org website. Thanks for listening, and God bless. We now return to this week's Next Step with Father Vazgen.
Thank you, Susie. Very important words to go by, right? Because there is a practical side to life, too, and it is through your donations, your contributions, that we're able to reach out in the way we do through this ministry, and we appreciate it. Same time, we want to remind everybody to make sure that the next step, epostle.net, is part of their giving process. You can give by pressing on that donate button. You can give by sending in a check to the Armenian Church Youth Ministry Center. That's at 632 West Stocker Street in Glendale, California. 91202 is the zip code. And let me just remind you that in a couple weeks, we are going to be celebrating the Feast of Assumption. And on that day, the people are known to bring their first fruits to the church for a blessing. This is a way of bringing in what you manufacture, what you produce in your life, and giving it to God by saying that, please bless it, because I realize I have an obligation, that I am not alone. This beautiful thing called life is something that I want to share with others. And so in Armenian tradition, there is a custom of blessing the grapes, the first fruit, which is brought to the church. And next week, on the Assumption of Saint Mary, who gave her first fruit to the world, people bring grapes to the church. Now, in old times, the custom is to bring grapes, obviously, because in old times, that's what people manufactured. Today, less and less farmers, unfortunately. Less and less people who are doing agricultural work. But there are so many other things that people are engaged in. Ways of making money. Ways of producing for your family, your loved ones. And again, the first fruit should be brought to the church for a blessing. And we invite you, those of you who consider this your church, who have made the next step part of your religious process, that this virtual church, because I know so many places in the emails that we get, so many places where there aren't Armenian churches, there aren't ways of plugging into Armenian Orthodoxy aside from this podcast. Well, make this podcast, make the epostle.net part of your giving process. And we invite you to donate. Donate not only a one-time gift, but make it part of your regular giving by saying that I want this message to get out to others. I see a value in this, and I believe in that Armenian Orthodoxy, just as it has led a group of people without their military might, without military strategy. They have found a way of living, of surviving and producing. I believe that that is the solution for the rest of the world. That's what we call Armenian Orthodoxy. It has led a group of people that otherwise shouldn't be here, but are here and are producing. And it can lead you, it can lead the world. If you believe in Armenian Orthodoxy, if you believe in the epostle.net, please be generous in your giving, especially this time of year, as we bring our first fruits to the church. Okay, you ready for some controversy? Oh, you know I'm always ready for it. Let's get into some of it. Well, as you can imagine, the biggest news of the last 10 years is how this word terrorism has terrorized our life. And ever since 9/11, 2001, I think the world has changed. Not only I think, we know. The world has completely changed. Hey, if you've even taken a small little trip around the block, you know that there is... I'm not talking about airport to airport. I'm talking about around the block. You know that there are many different changes, many other factors in our lives that weren't present 10 years ago. The suspiciousness with which we look at one another. I mean, just yesterday, last night, American Airlines flight coming in from the East Coast to Los Angeles had to stop in Albuquerque, New Mexico. Why? Because a passenger, was suspicious. He was lighting up a cigarette in the toilet area. And yes, they caught him. They caught him, but that's not why they brought him down. Listen to what's unfolding. It's all about suspicion. And they had bomb-sniffing dogs going through the entire plane before they allowed the plane to take off. Yes, our life has changed completely, dramatically. I, for one, know because we had to go through incredible efforts. As you know, as a priest, your name changes. Well, there's documenting those name changes. Although I was ordained a priest 30 years ago, it didn't catch up with me until after 9/11. And sure enough, this summer we've been doing some traveling. I have a son went to Armenia, another one went to New York, and definitely we know the added security at airports. It's all around us. Come on. Hey, am I making a case that terrorism is... What am I doing here? Am I talking that terrorism has made our world different? Of course it has. It's obvious. It's a granted. And it all goes back to 9/11, 2001, when fanatic Islamic terrorists brought down the World Trade Center. And it's one of those moments in history, one of those events that takes place where you remember where you were when that took place. I certainly do, and I know you do too. When you saw those first images, I mean, incredible impact on all of our psyches. And here we are, less than 10 years later, and there is a proposal to put up an Islamic mosque on that site at Ground Zero. And just a couple days ago, the go-ahead was given. They lifted up the obstacles. And so there was a go-ahead. Go ahead, build the mosque. Put up a mosque at Ground Zero. And of course, you could imagine that if anything is going to divide, this would divide a country, definitely the community that was there. The community that's living near Ground Zero, the city of New York and the state of New York, the entire United States, if not the entire world. We are polarized, many people. I've heard all kinds of comments over the last few days. And they are really on both sides. People saying, hey, what's going on here? This is the group that brought down those two buildings. What are you going to do? Cap it by putting a mosque there so that people could point and say, hey, look who won. Yes, that's the way people look. You know, you take over a part and then you stick your flag there. That's the sign of victory. Okay, stick a mosque there. It was fanatic Islam that brought down these World Trade Centers, and you put a mosque there. Well, what other signal are you sending out to the world? Well, one such answer was given by Mayor Bloomberg. He gave an impassioned speech, and I have to tell you, if you have the time, and if you don't have the time, make the time. Watch his speech. It's on the internet. Do a Google search. Mayor Bloomberg's speech at Ground Zero. It was a couple days ago. Let's see. Where is it, Susie? Okay, on Huffington Post. They have the video, and I'm sure it must be elsewhere on YouTube. Check it out. What's going on over here? Well, he gives us an answer. And I have to tell you that as a priest, I was truly, truly impressed by his answer. Truly impressed by the community that got together. Because when you talk about superpowers, you're talking about something that is, again, here's the word, unique. And it takes a unique country. It takes a unique group of people. It takes a unique superpower to be able to make this decision. Now hold off for a moment because we're going to get to some even greater superpower. But for right now, what happened? Mayor Bloomberg said, we would betray our values and play into our enemies' hands if we were to treat Muslims differently than anyone else. Interesting, isn't it? For one group, by placing a mosque there at Ground Zero, it would be a signal that, yes, fanatic Islam won. For another group, it's a symbol that, hey, we won. By looking at that mosque, you can say that the freedoms of the United States, the dreams on which this country has been built to allow equality for everyone, those dreams are still worth pursuing. That as hard and as difficult as it is to accept, we are taking the higher road. And that positioning that Mayor Bloomberg, other religious leaders have taken, that position that we are in right now of accepting this, is really the high road, is really worth noting as a religious community. And there is a tie to Armenian Orthodox, which I'm sure you knew I would bring up. But here is a beautiful statement, because Mayor Bloomberg said, no neighborhood in the city is off limits to God's love. Yes, we are all part of God's family. And if you think about it, the only reason that you could give for not putting a mosque there would be an emotional reason. Logically, it would make sense. We are all equal. But emotionally, the one that hurts, you know, these past few weeks we've been talking about the separation of heart from brain. Well, it's the heart that crumbles. It is the heart that is hurt. And that emotional one is a difficult one. But it is also the one that is being challenged at this moment. To really open up and say that, yes, there is a time when brain and heart, when mind and soul need to combine to get together in order to bring a lasting peace, in order to show yourself truly as a child of the Heavenly Father. Father Brian, which is one of the priests that was assembled with Mayor Bloomberg, made another statement and said it wasn't Islam that brought down the World Trade Center on 9/11. It was fanaticism. And every religion has fanaticism. Amen to that. We definitely see that in Christianity. We know it exists in Islam. We've seen it in Judaism. Every religion has fanaticism. And that's what we have to be afraid of. That's what we need to fight. That is what we need to bring down, that fanaticism. We need to understand one another as children of God. And now I'm going to ask you to really push yourselves, because of course this podcast is about Armenian Orthodoxy. And so I want to ask you, where have you seen the prototype for this kind of action in New York City? Well, you don't have to look too far, because it took place in Armenia just 95 years ago. You see, the Turkish government brought down the Armenian people. It exiled a nation out of its own historic homelands, and in place of churches, it erected mosques. So the prototype to 9/11 Ground Zero mosque building took place in Turkey. And the Armenian people said, okay, you're going to do that. We continue forward. We continue to look forward. Does it hurt? Absolutely it hurts. Is it unjust? Absolutely it is unjust. But it is taking the higher road to find that the power of love can overcome all of the power of hatred that this world could muster. It is a difficult path. It is the path that we are called to take. And if you want to see how it works, check out Armenia. Check out the land of Izmir, of Sasun, of Mush. Check out Van and Kars. Check out my grandmother's village of Sirvihisar, where the church is now a mosque. And there are no Armenians left, exiled, but never forgotten. Forgiven, but never forgetting. In other words, we're moving forward. In other words, we've put life as a priority. And yes, we had a life there, and it can never be forgotten. It is a life to which we connect. It is a life that gives us life today and meaning in our lives. But it is the ability for us to rise to the occasion and say that we are moving forward as children of God. The same statement that was made just a couple days ago, that we will never forget 9/11. We will never forget the disaster, the calamity, nor can we forget, because it is now in our lives. But the challenge is not for us to become like them, not at them and saying, there is the model, there is their mosque standing there as a sign of victory. But the challenge is the Armenian Orthodox challenge, the challenge which we learned not only 95 years ago when Turkey took over the lands and placed those mosques where churches were, but the challenge that we learned and conquered back in 451, when on a small field of Avarayr, Vartam Amigonian stood up against an entire empire, and against the odds said that we will win, because in the end we will be. In the end we will keep all that is important to us, namely the principles, namely the faith for which we live. And at that battle of Avarayr, Vartam Amigonian laid down his life, and in its place, the battle was lost, but in its place, the war was won. Because today we live with those principles. We live with the truth of Christ's love in our lives. We have an opportunity to pursue the dream that Christ has promised all of us. Courage, the victory is mine. I have overcome the world. It's not the battles that you need to be concerned with. It's the war. Are you able to finish this life a winner, keeping your principles, keeping your faith? And that's the battle that's taking place. 9/11 was the battle. Another battle is the one of putting up the mosque. It's not just a building. It's the idea of allowing that freedom, that dream that we have here in America, that all people are created equally, that we are endowed by our Creator to pursue life, liberty, and happiness. And that dream is the one that is worth preserving and is being preserved when we take these bold kind of steps. We should applaud Mayor Bloomberg. We should applaud the New York community. And we should also point them to some examples from the past, namely from Armenian Orthodoxy, namely from a people that have seen all kinds of injustice, have seen all kinds of terrorism, have lost the battles, but have won the war. You can win the war when you put love, when you put the principles of good against all the powers that evil has. Be sure of it, because God did it once at Calvary, and it's up to us to continue it in every aspect of our life.
When I die and the name of the rest, gonna go to the place that's the best. When I lay me down to die, going up to the spirit in the sky.
We are at the end of today's podcast. It has been so enjoyable to produce it. We hope you share that enjoyment on the other end in receiving this message. Hey, listen, we want to thank you for joining us and remind you that you can plug into us throughout the week at inhisshoes.org. You can check us out at epostle.net, where you'll find this podcast as well as every podcast that has come before us. From the beginning of time, you'll find resources, you'll find, well, live webcasts as well. Join us, epostle.net, that's Apostolic Evangelism for an Expanding and Electronic Universe. Also want to do a shout out for IACT. Make sure you're on their website too, getting out the messages, and follow us on Twitter, where we will definitely keep you informed of what's going on and how you can get involved in what's going on, especially in a small little place that needs the love of God, and that is called Darfur. So many things going on, that's why I'm saying keep up to date. Join us on the website, Facebook, Twitter, we're always there. Hey, listen, for the wonderful people who put today's podcast together, for Susie, our producer, for Ken, our engineer, and for Ani with those great bubbles today, this is Father Vasquez, inviting you to join us again next week when we will take the next step.
Trust you've enjoyed this broadcast. This episode of The Next Step, as well as all previous episodes, are available for downloading at epostle.net or at Apple's iTunes Store. To write to us with comments or questions, please direct your message to feedback@epostle.net. Your kind prayers and donations ensure the continuity of these quality broadcasts. For the production crew and all the members of the In His Shoes Ministries, this is Susie, looking forward to taking the next step with you again next week.